What I see a lot of people doing is thinking that a brand is really just the logo, just the website, and then they're focusing there. Then they're like, I built it and nobody came. Oh, it must be my SEO, it must be my niche, and then it must be my offer. And the truth is, it's really none of those things. It's the thing that everybody wants to avoid, nobody wants to spend time doing. The four pillars of branding, it's strategy, it's messaging, it's design, and it's thought work.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode on the IGC Coaching School channel. If you have ever felt like your coaching brand was forgettable, not much longer, because today I am joined by Kelly Preston. She's a branding coach and website designer with over a decade of experience helping coaches stand out with bold, authentic brands. And she is going to break down the four biggest reasons why coaches fail to make an impact. Plus, you're going to share some real world examples and show us around a little bit. So welcome to the show, Kelly.
Thank you. It is such an honor to be here. Thanks for having me.
First of all, go to the notes and follow her on Instagram immediately. I think a lot of stuff that you share, I also send to our entire IGC team. And I'm like, Kelly said to do this. Kelly said this. So this is a whole thing for us. So we're thrilled to have you on. And I really want to dive right in and really, the main thing that you teach being a branding coach and a designer is around strategy. So like, what do you see happening in the coaching website branding marketplace at this point?
So I think a lot of coaches, entrepreneurs, I generally feel like they don't actually know what the word brand is, or they think like, hey, this doesn't apply to me. It's something that I'll figure out down the line, or I'll wait till I'm a bigger agency, or I'll wait till I can hire an agency. And the truth is, you have a brand from the minute you put yourself out there. Mm-hmm. So your brand is really the ecosystem that is your digital presence. So whether you're posting on Instagram, whether you're, you know, creating a website, whether you're being interviewed on a podcast, whatever it is that you're doing or you're putting in front of somebody, that's, you're establishing a brand. And all that is, it's basically like, it's the beginning of your interaction with who it is that is interacting with your content. And so what I see a lot of people doing is thinking that a brand is really just the logo, just the website, and then they're focusing there. And then they wonder why they either invest, you know, oodles of energy or oodles of money to put it out there. And then basically they're like, if you build it, they will come. And then they're like, I built it and nobody came.
Yeah. I feel like that's crucial. It's like, and maybe eventually once you're quote unquote famous or a micro celebrity, they will come. But when you're first getting started, they don't just come because you have a website. I don't even think people find it typically.
No. And like it even, and then I've had clients that are like, oh, it must be my SEO, it must be my niche, and then it must be my offer. And the truth is, it's really none of those things, because A, it takes time to actually build a relationship with your client, but how are you building a relationship with your client in a way that isn't burning you out? And that's where the strategy comes in. Because the strategy is ending up doing 80% of the work. It's about 20% of what actually happens. It's the thing that everybody wants to avoid. Nobody wants to spend time doing, which I get. I didn't either. I avoided it for a long time, and I didn't actually run my clients through it until I was about 5 years in.
Really?
I never considered it. I was thinking it was a website and logo. Like, yeah, you'll be good. And
then I get the fonts, get the colors, get the logo.
Totally. Yeah. And then I was watching them. I would deliver this. They were paying thousands of dollars. And then they're like, it's not doing the thing that I purchased it for, which was to build a business. I think we also forget that part as well. It's a tool for building a business. But it only works if the strategy is behind it.
Yeah. Well, that's what I want to get into. I want to get into the four biggest reasons why life coach brands flop or become forgettable or just kind of blend into what is considered potentially an oversaturated marketplace. And then obviously I need you to tell us how to avoid those mistakes.
The four pillars of branding, it's strategy, it's messaging, it's design, and it's thought work. So thankfully, coaches are pretty familiar with how to manage their mind. But I think when we're becoming an entrepreneur, it's very hard to read the label from inside the bottle. So we're having a hard time figuring out what's actually stopping us. And so a lot of what happens is you can have the best strategy in the world, but if you're feeling defeated and you're like, nobody's paying attention, nobody's engaging, it must be my offer, nobody wants what I have, look what so-and-so is doing, then you're not going to keep going. And really, the majority of this is our strategy is a hypothesis. We're putting it out there and then we're putting in the reps. And so when you're out there doing it consistently, it is the consistency. And I know that's so unsexy, but it does work.
Well, I contribute 95% of my success to consistency. I don't even think that I have like as beautiful of a brand as other people necessarily. You just always say something because, or always put something out there. Like that's my only strategy sometimes.
Totally.
But I want to go back to, did you watch the Martha Stewart documentary?
Oh my God, I actually started it. Yes.
Okay. It took me a few rounds to watch it too, because I fall asleep in 3 seconds these days. But like I saw an interview with her, just a snippet of it, like as she's been on this press tour from the documentary. And she says something where the woman's like, what do you do to get over imposter syndrome? And like, how do you break through the glass ceiling? She goes, what are you even talking about? Oh. She was like, all of you, like in this whole world of self-help, she's like, you just impose these, I'm paraphrasing, you impose these things on yourself. She was like, when I started my business, I just had no other option but to be successful. She's like, I didn't even know what the glass ceiling was or what imposter syndrome was. And that's just one thing I'm like, wow, not that we shouldn't do our inner work, but sometimes we're inner worked out and it's like, just be consistent, just do the thing every day.
Totally. And I think God, that's so funny because when I started to butt up against like feeling uncomfortable, like going from one-to-one to this, the group offer that I'm currently offering, I was feeling like, oh my gosh, it's not working. Like I'm not getting the traction. And I would go in these cycles of defeat and I had somebody say to me, well, what would happen if giving up wasn't an option? And I was like, well, now you have to solve for that. And so then your brain is starting to look for like, okay, I'm giving up is not something I will be doing. It is something like, what do I need to do to keep myself in the game? And a lot of times it's like little things like I'm learning how to sell. Like we have to remember as entrepreneurs, we've never entrepreneured before. So like there's a whole different skill set that comes. Like you're a dynamite coach or you're really nailing coaching, but the actual side of being an entrepreneur, that is going to take some time and that's going to have some growing pains. It's going to feel uncomfortable. You're going to miss the mark, but nothing's gone wrong. And I think if you have somebody there or you have that going on in your background or in the background, you're far less likely because the consistency is actually the secret sauce.
Is that the strategy? Like,
it isn't the strategy. I mean, it is a part of the strategy. It's being consistent with a strategy is really the name of the game. And then to be consistent, what creates the consistency is what are the sentences in your head?
How does a new coach even go about developing a strategy?
So basically when people are saying niche, like I think people are like, they want to like vomit when they're like, okay, I have to figure out my niche. First of all, your niche could be, I'm a general life coach and that's fine. Call that out. So it's really about knowing who are you talking to? And a lot of times our niche is the past version of us. So we're serving who we were, we overcame, we have a transformation, we feel very passionate and we feel like, oh my gosh, I have a secret sauce that could really help people. So looking a lot at who you used to be, where you're headed, and the transformation that you went through. I would say really figuring out the strategy for that is figuring out who is this? Who am I talking to? And like you can ask yourself these questions like what's keeping them up at night? And if you're like, I don't know. I mean, don't guess, look back to your past. Or if you've worked with clients and you've heard these words come out of their mouth, start to write this stuff down. So when you know who it is that you're serving, you know the core problem that you're actually solving for.
Yeah.
So this is where you're like, oh my gosh, I can speak to this. And true marketing is when you can speak to the problem better than they can. Like they're like, oh my God, I never realized that this is what was going on. One of the best examples I've seen with this is I've seen a somatic, I think it's a therapist, and she's got a big account on Instagram. And I'm like, I hear somatics everywhere. I'm like, I get what it means, I guess. Yeah. But then she was giving these really good examples of like, if it feels like when your hair is down and you don't like the feeling of it on your body. And like that's nervous system dysregulation. I'm totally paraphrasing. I'm sure I'm cutting it. Like it's not accurate. But I was like, oh my God, I didn't know that was a thing. Or like if you've seen a lot of the ADHD memes, I had no idea. Instagram diagnosed me with ADHD.
Yeah, I think you and half the population at this point.
Yeah, sure. So it's all those memes that you're like, I'm like, oh my God, I didn't know that that's what the problem was. So it's like when you can like say the thing, you found a symptom that is kind of leading to the problem that your clients may not understand. And then when you can say it in words, that's actually like the ticker tape going through their head. They're like, oh my God, how did you just get in my head? And those are the moments that you're building connection. and they're going to hang around you and they're more interested in you. Because really, at the end of the day, this is about a relationship. And so you're starting to dig in and to understand, like, okay, this is what they're thinking about. This is what's keeping them up at night. This is what makes me unique. This is the different solution that I haven't seen anybody else offer. And we all have that in us. It just takes a little bit of looking. And sometimes, yes, I totally agree. It can be difficult to excavate that because you can't read the label from inside the bottle sometimes. It's like our gifts don't feel remarkable because it's all we know. And so I think looking at just like really looking at these and looking at where you were, looking at the language that you would use to describe that. And if you don't know, start asking people or start looking at even like other Instagram accounts that are, you know, working with similar clientele. And you can see in the comments, like what is the language they're using to describe their problem?
What an interesting form of market research. I always think of it as like actually reaching out to people or giving them a survey or having these conversations. But of course, you can find a lot in the comments.
You can. And like YouTube, Facebook, if you're in Facebook groups that like of people that are going through the similar things.
Yeah.
I mean, just have it. I have a Word document that I highlight anything that I've seen that I'm like, oh my God, that is such a good way to describe that. I would have never thought that. And that also happens when you're a few steps removed from the problem that you've been through. You kind of forget the vocabulary used. Yeah. So I just put it all in a Google Doc. It's like just a bunch of random quotes. And then a lot of times I'll feed it to ChatGPT and be like, these are things my clients are struggling with. Can you help me formulate content based on this language?
Oh my God. Can I scan my 2012 journal into my computer, upload it into ChatGPT? This is actually genius. I feel like it leads to the second piece though, around messaging too. Like, the strategy, I guess, tell me if I'm getting this right. The first thing that the new coach or the coach whose brand is not branding well needs to do is come up with a strategy. But is messaging then part of the strategy?
Messaging is the execution of the strategy. So what you're doing in the strategy is you're nailing, okay, who am I talking to? So what do I stand for? Basically, that's like your point of view. So it could be political. It could be like you stand for beauty. It could be I stand for more wealth in the hands of women. I stand for... So a lot of those will start to come out in like even memes you share. Sometimes you stand for neurodivergence. I stand for helping moms come out from underneath their partner's wing. Whatever it is, like these... And they don't even necessarily have to be related to the core problem that you solve, but it's going to be part of the reason that people are really connected to you.
Those are like your brand values, right?
Yeah. So they're your brand values. So it's like, and then people are like, oh my gosh. And a lot of times that's why they're choosing you over somebody else that's solving a similar problem in a similar way, because they're connecting to your personality. They like you.
Someone asked me this the other day. They're like, what makes IGC Coaching School different than like IPEC? And I'm like, we're fun. Like I think of something like, no offense, IPEC, but they're more institutional. They're more formal. They're more, you know, rigid, like old school education. I'm like, no, we're just like all trying to learn in the most fun environment possible. And if we're not having fun, I would quit my business in a minute.
Absolutely. And so that's going to resonate with your audience because they're like, yes, that's a value for me too. Again, it comes back to this idea of relationship building. When you think about when you're building a friendship with your friend, what are you doing? You're figuring out their problems. You're helping them work through them. You guys connect on similar values. And so, and then that's what is starting to create this. So it's really not, branding is really about relationship.
You know what is also making me think of, and I don't know why I hate this word so much, but vulnerability. I feel like vulnerability is just so overdone in the space. But at the end of the day, that's, for me, I can always tell someone who's off brand because it gives me the ick or it makes me kind of cringe because I'm like, this like doesn't, it seems fake.
Totally. And so that's the other thing. And like that would honestly be a big connection for you. So you're going to show up that way and you're going to attract people that are also really attracted to that. There are people that are like, I want a more polished. I want to know that you're reading from a script. And so then they're going to go that way, which is totally fine. But when you can lean into this, and this is when it gets really fun. This is my biggest interest with branding is it's self-expression. So when you can start to figure out these quirks that are inside of you and start to bring them out and they start to become the point of connection, like you're starting to unlock that in another.
Yeah. Well, this is also when so before we started recording, I told Kelly, I was like, you're so on brand. So obviously I'd want you to pull up what some of your brand looks like and show us around a little bit. But I feel like this also, obviously for you, you embody it. I feel like I'm very connected to you because of following your Instagram for years and even not even having chatted in a while. I still feel like I know you.
I love that. That's the connection point where you get to share bits of your, I think people hear like, tell your story, show your hero's journey. And then people are like, what does that mean?
I still don't know what that means.
So basically, I mean, I hate that because like that makes a lot of people want to shut down. And so ultimately what that means is you've been somewhere. And if you've come through to the other side, as it relates to the core problem that you solve in your brand, you can kind of speak to these things. Like I've been in massive debt and I share that on my Instagram. I've overinvested in so many things and then second guessed in doubt. So I like say this in my audience, they've also been there and they're like, oh my God, I can't believe she said this out loud. I can't believe like somebody's talking about this when generally they would have felt, you know, a form of humility around it or shame. Yeah. And that's part of my brand messaging is like, I want to say the things that nobody's actually saying, but everybody's thinking.
Yeah.
That's not going to be how everybody else's brand is going to work. But if you can kind of figure that in, that's where the storytelling starts to come. So that's kind of bridging the gap with messaging is this is where you start to feel like, okay, I know my values. And it's like, it's kind of cool because it gets to be a place of honoring yourself. I think a lot of women in particular, we don't know who we are and we forget what makes us remarkable.
Yeah.
And so
that's
if we can,
a good word,
remarkable. I know. Right? And like we all have it in us. And so if we can start to actually see it, there is this reverence that comes out. And so that's when we start to revere the marketing versus resent it.
Yeah.
And so it's about sharing bits of ourself to also really deeply connect with another and free them up as well.
So if you don't have these things, it doesn't matter how gorgeous your website is or your logo or how well put together the, you know, fonts and colors and textures and all of that are, because it's really, it sounds like from what you're saying, it's the voice and the human behind it that brings it to life.
Absolutely. It's like, honestly, if you were to go out on a date with like somebody who is completely beautiful and nothing inside.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's another episode, Kelly.
You might know a thing about that.
I know a few things about that.
Yeah. How did that land? So that's what we don't want with our brand. We don't want that. We don't want an empty vessel. And I think that's where I'm like, you guys, this is the permission to play. So go in there. You don't need to get it right. All I'm interested is that you try this. Get out there. See what happens when you start connecting and you start sharing bits and pieces of yourself. And there is something that starts to activate in you where you start to feel a little more safe to be seen, because that is a big thing. It's difficult. It's not easy to do this. And like, I think we think that it should be, and nothing's gone wrong. It's just, this is going to be uncomfortable. We've never done this before. Yeah. We've never put ourselves out there in a way where we're marketing ourselves and asking for money. Like, no wonder
I know.
Gotta go eat all the cookies. It's a lot.
Yeah. You know, unpopular opinion, I have some regrets in life. Okay, I know it's not cool and we die with no regrets, but I have a few. And one of them, which I've talked about many times, is that I didn't speak up enough when I first launched my business. I didn't say what I thought. I was so afraid if everything wasn't picture perfect, well done, you know, perfect cap. I mean, I would send one Instagram post to like 10 people to get their feedback before I would post it.
Totally.
Like that's how stunted I was. And if I had only exercised my actual voice sooner, I would have jumped timelines a lot sooner. I have no complaints about how my life worked out in that regard, but that is one thing where I'm just like, gosh, I wish I wasn't so nervous. But I do think I was nervous because no one ever walked me through what I actually stand for. It's like I knew, but it was buried under so much noise in the coaching industry too. And like what Gabby Bernstein was saying or what Tony Robb, you know, those like big coaches when we first started, I was like trying to almost mimic them. Or do you know what I'm saying? Like I didn't know what I stood for.
When you're an emerging entrepreneur, I think you're just looking for everybody else for an example. That's fine. That's okay. But I think if you can kind of get over that in a way that like, that's actually going to keep you back. It's going to be really hard to want to market when you're like constantly looking around to figure out what do I say. It's hard to figure out. Like, I mean, there's no speed and efficiency behind that because you're sending people to look at this, which again, you ask 10 people for opinions, you're going to get 10 different opinions. And then you're going to feel like I have to go in 10 different directions.
Yeah.
And so I think if we could look at personal branding as an exercise in self-trust and self-expression, that's really what we're boiling it down to. Which is why I think the coaching is so important. Like this isn't something that a lot of people are really super great at, especially when we're going out and we're putting it out and we're attaching it to money. And we're like, hey, pay me for this skill. I mean, we're not exactly bred for this to feel natural, especially as women. So just kind of honoring that that's a part of it. But the more you can start to lean in and start to let yourself come out and let this be easy, it does not need to be perfect and polished. Because again, if you want to think about when you're going on the date with a person that is perfect and polished and they're like so afraid to let themselves out, honestly, they're boring.
Yeah.
They're super boring. Like when you're ever with, have you ever been with like a people pleaser and you can tell that they're just saying all the things that they want?
Oh, that just agrees with everything that comes out of your mouth. I've tried dating one once because I was like, this will be easy. Like this guy just will do whatever I said. That did not work. I was so bored. I was so bored. I got away with murder with this guy for real. Like he just would, yeah, not fun.
Not fun. It's boring. And like, that's the thing is like boring brands don't build a business.
Well, also, if you think about coaching and why people hire a coach to begin with, it's to get out of their own way. It's to stop doing things the way that they've always done them before. It's to finally be challenged to get to your next level. So if you don't have a coach that in some way speaks to that, or, you know, goes against the grain a little bit or has some powerful essence to them, it's like, meh, take it or leave it.
Yeah. And that's the thing.
I think this is too expensive. It's like, yeah, because you're not making it, even though I do believe it's buried in someone sometimes.
It's absolutely there. It's absolutely
there. They're not articulating in a way that someone's like, here's my money.
Mm-hmm. Totally. And so I think that's the thing is like a lot of times like marketing, even our marketing, that's so valuable, even when we're absolutely selling, because what we're doing is we're painting a vision for their, what they're actually craving. When you're showing somebody what's possible, it's like, oh my gosh, like the permission that that unlocks, like that is a gift and value in and of itself. So that's a big part of what's coming across like in our messaging. So for those that are like, what is messaging? Because I think even these words that are thrown around like copy, content, all it is the words that you write on your website or on your Instagram or that you talk about in on a YouTube, whatever it is, wherever you're interacting with words to your clients, that is your messaging. And so it's really just like, it's voice usage, and voice usage comes out in writing too. So, and here's the thing too, is like when it's actually coming from you, it's so much easier to keep it cohesive, and cohesiveness among a brand is a big part of what creates safety in your clients and safe clients buy. I think people are like, I don't know what my voice is. You absolutely know what your voice is. It's yours.
Yeah. I think it's like, there are certain accounts that I go to when I want someone's take on something, especially in the like political climate of the past few months at this point. I go to see what they're going to say about something because I trust them. And I've like built this fake online relationship that they don't know I exist. But you know what I'm saying? It's okay. You have to, I think what coaches need to do is think of like, I've asked some of our coaches in training this before. I've said like, what do you want to be known for? Like you want to get to the point where someone's like, if I need, you know, a breathwork meditation, I'm going to this person's Instagram page. Or if I need my resume redone, I'm going here. Like you want to be the top of mind person with this particular that solves this particular problem. And the only other thing I'm thinking that maybe you can touch on too, which is something that I run into a wall with on a regular basis, is like, we have to remind ourselves that like a lot of messaging is saying the same thing using just slightly different stories, but really saying the same thing over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's really hard for people because they think like, oh my God, I'm a broken record. Everybody's seen this, but here's the truth is nobody's actually seen it. There's a study that just came out in Google, and I'm going to butcher it because I don't have the actual numbers in front of me, but it's something like people need to come in contact with the same message 40 times before it
hits. Used to be seven. I thought it used to be seven
and 11. It was like seven messages and like 11 points of contact or flip that. Yeah, it's nuts. And a lot of that is one, the market's really saturated. Two, we're a little like overstimulated. People aren't engaging in the same way.
100% overstimulated.
Yeah. So, and like we're getting messages from, you know, and we're like trying to like get the highlights and we're just not really paying attention. That's the other thing that a big thing comes up is people stop, they start hiding because they think engagement on social media is indicative of their resonance and their relevance. It has nothing to do with it. And like, I had to learn it that way too. Like basically, when we're doing metrics by that way, you're making up a story that we have no idea is actually true. I watch how I engage. Like, I'm trying to be more intentional now of liking and commenting, because I come across posts that I'm like in love with and they have my full attention and I do nothing with.
Same.
So imagine, I think we've kind of gotten out of that because there's so much around us.
Yeah.
But imagine what's happening when you're putting stuff out and you have people that you're actually talking to and you're hitting, but you think nobody's listening, and then you stop posting. And then there goes that consistency again.
Yeah. I know. And then you have to do the dreaded, one of the things I hate the most in the whole world is when someone gets on their stories and they're like, I haven't been here in a while. I'm like, just get to the point.
I mean, and I get why people feel that way, because they're like, I feel like everybody notices. Nobody notices.
No one notices. Literally no one notices. But when you're back, they're like, oh, maybe you have this thought of like, oh, where have they been? And then sometimes they'll be like, did I snooze them or something? No, they just, but onward. Do you know what I mean? So, okay. So we talked about the strategy. We talked about the messaging. I really feel like people want to see what this looks like if they've stuck along. Like, what does it look like to bring it to life?
I'll share my website just because I feel like it's a good example of like what you can see. So basically, let me give you a little background. So a big part of what I stand for is relatability and also like this idea of self-expression. But what I want branding to actually feel like is play. Okay. So when I just actually recently rebranded after I got super, super clear that I'm like the strategy of what I'm offering is this is one giant playground. So I'll take you guys to my site and see if you kind of get this vibe from it, because I actually modeled it after a preschool.
Stop.
I did.
That's so interesting. Okay.
I chose primary colors because, again, like a big part of my value is this idea of like how playful and funky can we let this be? How relatable, how accessible can we make branding? Because a lot of the agencies out there, and nothing against that, but this is a part of my, this is what makes me different, is a lot of the agencies are a little more like black and white and editorial. Yeah. And I think that's beautiful, but that's not actually what my brand is. I'm wanting to be standing for. I want to be stand for like this idea of like, this gets to be super fun. It gets to be super funky. It gets to be innovative. You get to basically do something that's never been done before. And screw all the rules. Like, it's very much like, I'm like here, I'm definitely speaking, which hello, my brand is Square Peg Studio. I'm speaking to the people that don't generally fit in. Like, they want to go against the grain. So that's kind of what branding looks like. When you find the strategy of like, here's the undertone of what's going on, it then starts to inform your design decisions. It gets a lot easier where you're like, okay, I do want people to feel like more calm, more soothing in my space. Well, so then you start to look at colors that like light you up. And again, when you're picking your brand colors, I'm like, please throw all the rules out the window, because really what's happening is this is like decorating your house. So how do you want people to feel when they enter your environment?
Okay. But your whole house is very cool too. And like, I know you've shared some of it on Instagram, and I'm thinking to myself right now, every single thing in my entire house is like black and white. And I feel like your house is like a color studio.
When I actually first started, and Liv, you may have notice, because this is back when I was going to IGC, is my website was black and white as well. And when I came in, we had actually just had our house, like basically it was like my first chance of getting to design a house. Like,
yeah, I remember this. Yeah.
And so I was like, okay, black and white it is, because that's what I was seeing everybody else do. And then I was like, it was through this excavation process. And I was like, no, I'm a color lover. And so I actually created a lot of this brand around how I was decorating my house.
No way. That is so, I feel like that's a really good jumping off point too, because I don't know how many times I have said, you know, I would love to be an interior designer. I have Pinterest boards of like rooms that I don't even own property to decorate. But it's like, if you can't buy your dream house and redo it right now, you can use your business brand.
Yes.
As that.
Yes. Oh, and it feels so fun. Like, this is the play. This is like, I don't know if you've ever been into those studios where like you go in and you paint, and it's like paint and wine, and it's like, it's just fun. You don't need to be the perfect artist. You just get to go in and express. That's how I want people to treat their brand. Yeah. Like, this gets to be a form of like, I don't know, this is where your dreams get to come to life. This is where you get to play and you get to bring this like funky energy that maybe you don't have the house that you get to decorate. Maybe you don't have the wardrobe that you can afford yet. Like whatever it is, like let it come out in your brand. That's always when I was working one-to-one with clients, I was having them send me brand boards, not of websites that they loved, but of outfits that they love. Maybe they found wallpaper or rooms. So I got an idea of like, this is the direction that we're coming. And they always intersect with how you want your brand to feel.
Yeah. There's,
they never don't call each other out.
Brilliant.
So I think it's a lot branding for me. And I hope this brings some levity to anybody watching. It really is about just self-expression. Like it's about you knowing yourself enough to go out and claim it.
Yeah. And what if you don't know yourself? Is that where the next part comes in?
I think that is, I mean, that's a big part of the strategy is that is a big part of like asking yourself, like, what do I like? And then paying attention.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't know either. It wasn't until I started to be like, oh my gosh, I am like always choosing hot pink pillows. Always. I'm obsessed with blue. And I thought I hated blue.
Yeah.
You know, there was this like saying that like somebody asked me like what kind of flowers I liked and I had no idea. I couldn't even tell them. I actually think that's pretty common in a lot of areas with potentially even, I don't want to say all women, but maybe adults. Like we kind of disconnect from what we actually love. We just start doing what we think or we've either always done or what's expected of us or what we see other people doing.
Yeah.
And so this gets to be a minute to be like, oh my gosh, I think I really love shades of terracotta. Whatever it is.
Almost do if I was starting over, I would like make a private Pinterest board and I would be like, okay, Olivia, like if nobody ever saw this, like what would you put on it that you think are truly like the most beautiful thing? I would do that because like for some reason that would feel like a little like scaffolding to me. Like no one's going to see this yet, but I'm just going to go all out with things that I like, even if they don't go together, even if I would be embarrassed if someone saw this.
I have a like a mini course called Logo Lab and that is the very first lesson. That's what they do.
Oh,
it's a private Pinterest board that you just go in and you pin your little heart out.
Oh my God. I love it.
Yeah. It's really like,
show us your Instagram. We have to
see. Oh yeah.
Like, especially if people like don't have a website yet. First of all, if you don't have a website yet, you can go to the show notes and meet with Kelly who can help you get there, get the brand done, get the website. But I do think a lot of times people are just using social media as kind of the homepage of their business as they're developing a brand and a website. So how do we make our social well-branded, like show us?
Totally. So I will say that too. Like if you guys don't have a website, you do not need one. In fact, what I would actually do is I would just figure out these like core vibey, like how do I want people to feel in my presence? Like what is my messaging? Start to go out and play and go test on the socials or wherever it is that you're finding your clients. If you're doing in-person networking, whatever it is. But if you are going to be using Instagram, that is something that I do teach on because it's such a visual platform. So I'll show you guys mine and then I'll show you guys how you can kind of set it up so it runs like a little mini website. So basically, you guys have the opportunity to have your pinned post in here. So I would say anytime you're going to have these three places of real estate, which I actually don't have this one because I just took it down because my offers changed. But basically, you have the opportunity to, if you're offering something for free, like you're building an email list, this is a great place to put your email list builder, pin it, and then let them know who you are. This is a great place where they get to connect with the values of who you are. And then the third one, this is where I would probably have, and again, there's a million different ways that you can do this, but if you want something to just like a jumping off point, I would actually have this be, what is your offer? If you're only offering one offer, if you have several packages, whatever it is, let them know how to work with you. So they don't have to search through your posts. A lot of times I think we're afraid to say that we're for sale, but that's the whole point.
We're for sale.
Yeah. And then the highlights are actually, I'm playing with different ways to utilize these. What I used to do, and I still think that this is a good modality, is to actually treat it like a nav menu on a website. So generally on your website, you have offers, you have about, and then you have connect. So right now I'm also kind of putting in like, okay, so basically what you're doing when you're creating any kind of marketing is, or really what makes money is value. So a big part of what you're doing is you're giving value. So I wanted to make my value more accessible. So I was like, okay, so what are the things that generally people are coming to me for? So I created highlights for each one of those: messaging, tech tips, design. And then at some point, I think I'm going to put one in for like thought work, like inspiration. So it basically kind of matched the four pillars of what we opened this with, which I, for my brand, it's about, those are the four pillars that I'm kind of like touching on and trying to work with people. And then again, you can have a meet up here. So I think using these as your real estate, like you have your highlights, plus this actually makes your website look, or I'm sorry, your Instagram look more like cohesive and on brand. So what I would do is I would go into Pinterest and I would find your colors, and you don't have to stay married to them. You guys can rebrand. I do it often. I think I'm finally to the place where I've built such a strong strategy. I don't see a rebrand coming for a very long time, but I don't know, famous last words.
But I feel like that would be a good place also to have like testimonials, or in your case, like
totally
a client work.
Yeah, you could also have something up here like testimonials. I'm actually like in the process of fiddling with this. I was thinking of doing something completely different. And honestly, what I did is I put into ChatGPT, I was like, can you help me think of a clever way to set up my Instagram, to use the real estate of my highlights and my pinned posts? And they gave me some really good ideas. I can't remember what they are right now, but I think I'm going to be switching these around to match that. So you guys can do that for your brand. I don't know how many of you guys are actually using AI, but I highly recommend it. I think it's the best thing that's happened to a solopreneur since the internet.
Yeah.
But you can come in here and like figure out like what would be something clever. You know, I've also seen people do this as like almost like a puzzle where it says welcome across the top. So there's no one way to do it, but I would use this real estate. Definitely have it. And then this is kind of what it looks like when you're creating branded posts. Like this one obviously doesn't look on brand, but it's because I'm creating a board that is to demo another brand. But when you're in here, you can just kind of see like all the colors, they stay the same. The fonts stay the same. I choose one font. I have two fonts in my brand, one that is like the heading font. And then I have another brand that's like, or then I have another font that's a paragraph font. And then I have my brand kit all set up in Canva. And so basically when I'm creating these graphics, I'm just sort of rotating the colors and I'm keeping the same font. All of my images are from, that aren't of me. I've either created in Midjourney, which is another AI platform, or I've found from Lumi, which is a free, and this matches my brand, but you guys can use stock photos from Pexels, Unsplash, Lumi, like these are all free, royalty free, meaning you guys can use them without paying anybody or even giving them credit. So I think a lot of people kind of feel hung up because they're like, I don't have a bunch of professional photos of me.
Yeah.
I don't think you need that. I actually don't necessarily know. I mean, yes, it's good to show your face, but I think sometimes that can be the thing that holds people back from being on Instagram. So if it makes you more comfortable when you're starting to get yourself out there to use stock photos and just, you know, or maybe you just make carousels that are super simple, but they're in your brand colors. Yeah. Whatever keeps you consistent, I would say, and then you're creating recognition by putting that same color out, that same font out, that same message out, and really the consistency and then the cohesiveness, that's the ecosystem. That's what's happening. And so rather than just like being like, okay, I'll put the colors out, I think when we've dropped the messaging and who we're talking to and why we chose these colors, and we don't have any necessarily a connection to the colors because we just sort of chose them because our mentor said, or we saw our favorite coach do it.
Yeah.
This seems to be what is trending. I think that's when we go then and we change it. And then we're kind of always changing up our brand, which
that's the worst thing I feel like someone could do.
Mm-hmm.
Like always be changing the brand. Mm-hmm. I say that around when someone launches a course or a program or something too, to like, you usually have to launch something more than once.
Totally. You have to launch it several times over and over again. It's basically like data, like your first launch informs your second launch informs your third launch. And so, but if we're not launching the same thing over, offering the same product over, it becomes very hard to refine. And that's where a lot of the connection happens.
The first time we launched IGC, like as a coach training course, we had like 3 people in it. I think 4, but like one person we let go through for free.
Totally. I mean, and that's how everybody starts.
Yeah. And we just like kind of let people pay whatever because we just wanted to get people through it. Not that I would recommend that. I know everyone's like, but charge your worth, whatever. Charge what the program's worth. But you can't give up after one for sure. And I would say that with your branding too. And I don't know. I mean, I believe in the design being really important and really consistent and cohesive, like you're saying. But what do you think? around like the voice being even more important than that.
I think the voice is more important. The voice is what carries it. And the voice really comes from strategy. That's why it really does 80% of the lifting.
Yeah.
Your design is a little bit more, not a little bit. I actually think it's more for you than it is for your clients. Yeah. So it's basically like, how do you feel when you walk into an interview or even a party in your pajamas versus your favorite dress?
I might choose the pajamas at this stage in my life.
Then by all means, that's go with where you're most comfortable with.
I mean, you know, Kelly, I would not actually go to a party in my pajamas, but it would be a little bit more authentic if I did. That's really aligned. I would show up that way.
Honestly, like if that's your comfort zone, then that's what your brand, like that's like, it's not like there's one right, like the fancy ball gown versus the pajamas is where there's one right one. It's what's the one that like you're going to feel the most confident and comfortable
in. So what is the last one, the thought work have to do with this? Like, what is that?
That is what keeps you consistent. Because without that, we drop off.
But what is thought work?
It's looking at like, okay, why do I want to go back and change my price? Why do I want to go change my offer? Why do I think that I need to spend 7 hours on a Canva graphic? What am I making it mean when nobody engaged with my post? And like looking at like, there are these hidden thoughts rolling underneath the surface. Like, I'm no good at this. Maybe this won't work. Like, I'm the one that this won't work
really
for.
Number four is you're getting in your own way.
Mm-hmm. And we all do it.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody's immune to this at all. You know, it's a very triggering space to put yourself out there as an entrepreneur. And I think it's made to look like you can get it right out of the gate. Some of us do. I think there are some people that are really good at selling. And I think even if you're not good at selling, you can get good at selling. You're learning how to sell. Basically, if your brain is not on board to be visible, all of the messaging, all of the strategy, all the beautiful design won't work.
Yeah. Well, that's where the whole Martha Stewart thing comes in. You just have to be like, why wouldn't I be successful?
Totally. I mean, she has a beautiful brain that like let her see that as the only option.
And I do think though, back in the 60s and 70s when she started and there was no social media where everyone's like, you didn't do what you're supposed to today. It's because you have imposter syndrome. It's because you have childhood trauma. It's because you're wounded and you need healing. And we weren't bombarded with all that. Now there's pros to some of this rhetoric. There is. I think we're all going to therapy at higher rates now. And listen, Martha's no saint, but some of it gets in your head and it's like just not worthy of you. It's not worth your time. It's not useful.
Totally. I think also we don't even realize it's there. So it's basically a ticker tape parade of sentences. And you're like, I don't know why I feel so burnt out. Well, you feel so burnt out because you constantly have a sentence. This isn't going to work. This isn't going to work. This isn't going to work. As you're posting, as you're selling, as you're on your consults. If that's constantly going on, that is really, really draining.
Yeah.
And then you're always working up against that rather than feeling super connected to the value that you provide and being super excited to help or like having, what if you had the thought, I can help this person. As you posted that one Instagram post or even got on that consult, if you had that thought going on loops, the way that you show up is actually so much more conducive to the client saying yes, which makes everything so much easier. Then you start to believe in yourself more. There is a belief that needs to be happening about you, about your offer, about your client that I think a lot of people don't actually have when they put their whole package out. And then that makes it really hard to stay consistent.
You really have to believe that you are the best person in the world to work with to solve the particular problem. You have to believe that.
You're one thought away from a different result. So if that belief does not feel like it is available to you, then it's just, you just work with getting there because you will.
Everybody just wants the pretty website and they want the pretty brand book, but none of that will matter if you don't do these four things that we went through today.
Or it feels very expensive and you're wondering, I just spent $10,000 on a website with a designer and nothing's changing. And I watched that happen. And that's why I went this route because I was like, this is not the best offer for my clients. I know why they're coming to me. They want to build their business. They're investing this much because they want a business that actually works. And then they'd get these sites. And I'm like, there's so many missing points to this. The other great thing about learning how to also design your own site, I'm a big advocate for that until you get to like a certain place in your business, is giving you the power back. When you get that offer, when you're on the treadmill and you're like, oh my God, I want to go do this masterclass. I want to go put out this challenge. Well, you either have to figure out how to get on a designer schedule or it never comes out of your body. And so it just sits there. And so I think when you can figure out these basics of setup that you can actually market yourself, you have the actual technical skills and even the design trust to go ahead and implement and put this out, it makes you feel so confined and so trapped when you have to either pay again. That was the other thing, is I was having clients be like, okay, I think my brand is now changing. I'm now offering this. How much would it cost to get back on your schedule again? And it's like, oh my gosh, you don't want to invest again.
Yeah.
You don't want to invest. Like, you need to be out there talking to your clients and making money. And honestly, what was also happening is as clients, like as they've gone through and they've started to learn how to design their own stuff, they're like, oh my God, this is so fun.
Like, the enemy of wealth is delay. I can make almost any change on our website within 5 minutes at this point, but there's no job in the company that I didn't once do myself.
Oh my gosh. I think that is so incredibly important. I think before you hire out your messaging, your even your virtual assistant work, I think you have to do it yourself.
Yeah. You can't teach someone to do something that you don't
do
have a clue of how you want it to work. I think that's absolutely true. And well, I want to thank you, Kelly, for being here, for giving us so much information, for sharing your brain with us, and hopefully giving people some inspiration. And I would say, like, a sigh of relief almost, like, your brand's not broken. There's just a few things, four things technically, that need to be worked on to get a completely different result. And you had said when we were emailing about this, like, you cannot outbrand your self-doubt. And that is something that I don't think I'll ever forget hearing or reading that you said, because you're absolutely true. A brand book or a website without someone vulnerably and excitedly sharing it on a regular basis means
nothing. Because you believe so much.
Yeah.
You believe in how you can help. You believe what happened to you. When it is rooted in that belief, it also comes across as service. Because yeah. It is. It's like, dude, I just want to help. I have so much I want to offer. And people yeah. receive that so well. And so, yeah, I think this is so much about you and what's going on with you and the way that you want to show up in the world. And I wish just more entrepreneurs, like, let themselves experience that and then watch what happens. It's like actual magic.
Beautiful. And of course, Kelly has a course to help you do all of that. We're going to link it below. Also, we're going to link Kelly's Instagram. I'm sure if you have questions about anything, you can DM her. I feel like we're in each other's DMs on a regular basis now. She is your person when it comes to branding and getting your message out into the world. So thank you so much again, Kelly.
Thanks, Liv. It was so great to be here.